This week, the last 3 days, the executives have met primarily face-to-face with each one of the staff. And when they meet with the department head and with one of my people and culture people. That's been the ideal. That's been our aim. And sit down and talk about whether they're going to be stood down for how long or whether they have a part-time role. And in our organisation over the last 3 days, we've got 135 staff and we've had to stand down 100 and the other 35 are part-time, somewhere between 0.2 and 0.8. And they're our mission critical staff, and I can go through why we've kept those, what's been the basis, but that's where we are right now.
Brian Cook, the CEO of the Geelong Football Club, with Jared a little earlier on today. Back to your call shortly. Brian, Michael, and another Michael from Ringwood as well, coming to you very shortly. Thanks for joining me wherever you might be listening. We'll take as many of your calls during the course of the afternoon as possible, as always love to do. But Justin Rees has been good enough to give me a couple of minutes of his time, Hawthorn CEO. Well, welcome to you, Justin. Thanks a lot for giving me a couple of minutes.
G'day, Dwayne. Hope you're well, mate. Hope you're well.
I'm well. You've worked with Brian Cook for quite a while. You've gone to the Hawthorn Football Club, and this must be an extremely tough time for you. Just heard Cookie talk about laying off 100 of 135 staff, and even some people, you know, of the 35 only have limited duties. How's the Hawthorn Football Club coping?
Yeah, it's an incredibly difficult time for all of us, and we're in a very similar boat to Brian, probably similar size staff and probably similar size people that have been stood down at the moment, which is sort of the most heartbreaking part of it all. I think people that you work with every day and you're having amazing relationships, and you know, within a space of a week or a couple of weeks, it gets to the point where they don't have a position for a period of time. They're still very much part of our club, and we love them all, and we want to bring them all back as much as we can. So it's a really difficult time.
It's not only the fact that you have to do it, it is important the way you do it, Justin?
It's incredibly important. You know, we spend a lot of time trying to work out how we could do it as openly, as honestly, and as transparently as possible. And that was sort of our guiding principle. We sat down probably, I can't even think what day it was now, Monday, when it became clear that this was going to be the path forward. I worked out how we could sort of, we could really live our values, and those principles were important. So once we decided we knew what we had to do, we tried to do it as quick and as possible and as openly and as transparently as we could. And, that was a incredibly sort of hard 2 days on the people doing it, but most importantly, the people that were affected. And it's 2 days you'd probably never, ever, ever want to relive in your life again, I would imagine, for all concerned.
I heard Brian Cook earlier on say that he's holding out, I think his quote was, "I'm holding out some optimism. I think there's a strong chance that we'll play footy later this year." The AFL is very determined to do that. How important is it to stay positive? And even for the people who you're asking not to come to work or you haven't got a job to come to, for those people to have a belief that there is some light at the end of the tunnel for them as well, even if it is not at the Hawthorn Football Club, it's maybe in the football industry still, because there's a belief that the football industry will come back.
I think it's unbelievably important. I mean, I think some people might think I'm an optimist, but, you know, I think that one thing that I haven't even considered, that football won't come back. You know, my belief is that football will come back. This is a point in time scenario that we're in. We don't know the exact timelines, but I'm working on the 100% the football will come back, and as many of those people as possible will return to the jobs that they love and the jobs that they've given so much to in the football industry, and that we'll get games away this year. That's what we're all working towards. That's the belief we all have, and I think that we've got to push that at 100 miles an hour to ensure that happens once it's safe, and it's in the interest of the health and well-being of our people to do so. But that's got to be our way forward.
Cookie also spoke about the footy club staff, footy department players, you know, going from about a $1 million spend to about a $25,000 spend. That's a big reality check, isn't it?
It's a huge reality check. I mean, it's you know, footy for a long period of time has been sort of, you know, bulletproof almost. It's almost been considered to be recession-proof over time. No one would ever have considered that we'd be in this situation. And you know, to be able to trim down a football department from what it was to what it is at the moment with basically a handful of people, no one could ever have considered. But the responsible action in the interests of the club, the industry, everyone concerned, was that unfortunately that was non-negotiable. And the clubs and the people involved have done it. There's a lot of heartache attached to that. And now we work on looking at how we build again, and we've got to be prepared because this is going to go down at the moment, but we've got to be prepared for when we go back up and that we do have the best people involved and look after our people along the way.
And the AFL is providing an opportunity to be, I think it was called a treasury function for the security of clubs. They've taken over almost in a way that they can make sure that all clubs, the safety and security and long-term viability of all 18 clubs will continue.
I think, Dwayne, that the responsibility that the AFL have is for the long-term, you know, first for the people, and then the long-term health of the league. And I think what that requires is that we all actually buy in together to say, you know what, let's actually make some smart decisions here collaboratively and make sure that we all agree to a certain set of principles that will see us get through this. And clubs are in different positions. So the AFL will definitely be working with clubs in different ways, depending on the financial cash flow positions of those clubs, etc. And some clubs will require much more help than others. But, you know, I guess the most responsible thing for all is that we're able to work together to make sure that this industry and the clubs aren't at risk, short-term and long-term.
So whatever it ends up being, whatever ends up happening, whether it's football at the end of this season resumes and we get some sort of season at the end of this year, or if we just start again in 2021 or whatever, it's an 18-team model, and you're one of the big fish now. You were once on death row yourselves as a football club at Hawthorn. So is that your belief, that it should always be, whatever form of footy we've got, it should be an 18-team model?
Well, I mean, that's the way that the AFL competition is structured, and it's probably not for any one club to try and, you know, rebuild that or reconstruct it. But what I'd say is that we, as the Hawthorn Footy Club, we're very, very aware. And, you know, I talk to people every day that were around in, you know, when this club nearly went to the wall, and what was required to rebuild this club and make it in a strong financial position that it is today. And people will never forget that, and forget the efforts that were made by so many to be in this position. So we can really only look after our own interests. We can help the AFL with whatever we can to make sure the industry is strong and moving forward. But, you know, I would assume that the competition looks as it does now. But that's a matter for the AFL, really, I would say.
And the club itself generates quite a bit of income from poker machines. That's changed a little bit in the last week.
The two venues that we operate, they're both closed down at the moment, and you know, their staff are in similar sort of positions to the football club staff. So that's just sort of more, you know, not just the revenue, but there's just more people that are affected there, and that becomes our primary concern, really. The people, whether they work in the footy department, the administration of the club, or the venues that we operate, we treat them all the same. They're all our people, and the best interests of those people need to be our priority every day.
How important is it that Hawthorn owns a large parcel of land in Dingley right now?
The project's been put on hold. You know, we've been working pretty hard on this project for a number of years. I guess, responsibly, financially responsibly for our club is to make sure that the club is secure as a football club. That's our core business. You know, that project has been put on hold. I guess when we get some clean air at some point, and that won't be in the next couple of months, we'll sit down and look at, we've got a parcel of land which is an asset. It's 20 kilometres from the city. It's 78 acres. It's a good asset to have. So we won't, you know, that won't be a huge concern for us in the next few months, but it'll be something that, as I said, when we get some clean air, we'll have a look at the priorities of the club and where that fits into it moving forward.
Talking to Justin Reeves, Hawthorn CEO, what do you think football's going to look like when it does come back, Justin? We've talked about major cuts to football department staff and major cuts to how many people in a coach's box looking at a laptop. Do you think this is going to change it forever? I presume you do, but how much change?
Yeah, it's a bit of an unknown, isn't it? Like, footy's changed so much in such a quick period of time. If you look at, you know, Dwayne, when you were playing all those years ago.
And you.
You know, yeah, the football
we've
was
all
much
played
more.
It. I mean, I think that's the thing with all of our listeners, Justin. We're all so invested. It doesn't really matter, you know, if you've played AFL. There's people in the burbs there. We're all so invested in this game. It seems ridiculous on some level that we see it as so important, and yet it is so important for us.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, I think football is the greatest game in the world. And, you know, football was the greatest game in the world when there was two coaches, or one coach and an assistant. Football is still the greatest game in the world when there's, you know, as you saw, the coaches' boxes full of coaches. I think football will again be the best game in the world, and it'll adapt to whatever that the industry can support. Now, I suspect the industry will never be the same as it was 2 weeks ago, or football. When I talk about the industry, I'm talking about the number of coaches and the number of people and the number of staff and everything. It'll never look like that again. But what it looks like, we don't know. We actually don't know what's in front of us. But I suspect that, as I said, it probably will never look 100% of what it was again.
Your coach, he is such a strong leader. He's taken a substantial pay cut from what I understand. I mean, I love Clarko. I've had a couple of run-ins with Clarko over time. I once asked him in a pre-game interview what the main message on his whiteboard was, and he said, I'm not going to tell you. But he's such a great leader. I love the guy. I like his perspective on life. He's taken a pay cut. He probably doesn't want that publicised. But how important is it to have good people at your club right now?
I mean, I think that the best leaders I've ever come across in my life are the people that invest in people the most. Clarko, you know, like all the leaders of our club, invest in people. And his primary concern at this time is around the people that make up our footy club and also the industry. He's so invested in the industry. You know, Graham Wright, who's our head of footy, I talk to him hourly, and his biggest concern is the people. And I talk to everyone in our business. It becomes, at the moment, it's a people and it's a health issue that we need to make sure that's right. But, you know, everyone's invested. Everyone who's working is taking a severe pay cut. That's just the way it has to be. And that's the way that not one person that I've spoken to has a problem with that. Everybody's invested and ready to move ahead, with whatever that looks like.
How does it change your relationship with Tasmania when footy resumes at all?
I don't think so. I think Tasmania's part of the Hawthorn Footy Club. We hope, I mean, we really hope that we can play games in Tasmania this year. The AFL is still working towards a 17-game season in whatever time frame that they can get that into. And my understanding is that could go right through to later in the year. But, you know, a big part of our plan would be to, you know, go to our other home in Tasmania and play games this year. In actual fact, I think Tasmania becomes a really, really vital part of us moving forward.
I saw one of your players, Isaac Smith, put things into perspective pretty well from a player's point of view. He understood how deep the problem is going to be for general society right now. So the players don't want to look like they're greedy. They want to look like they've got an understanding of what the general population is going through. Justin, most of the players, have you seen the way that the players have handled it? How did you see the way Patrick Dangerfield handled it? And when your own guys speak, how important is it that they send a right message or have the right mind frame?
Well, I think for the first time that I can remember, football is part of a bigger problem. I mean, this is a world, this is a community problem. And we're just a very, very small subset of that. And everywhere that the players go, I mean, they're going home to their families, they're going home to their friends. This is not just a footy industry problem where, you know, people might be arguing about, a CBA or something like that. This is actually an issue that the whole world and the whole community that they live in are dealing with. So I think that they, you know, this is real. And I think that, you know, football and, you know, the arguments that we've had in football over the past become irrelevant. This is about survival. This is about health. This is about looking after people. And this is about doing the best thing that you can to play your role. And everything that I've heard from every player and every coach that's spoken so far has been to support that. And I think, you know, that's fantastic, because they do play a role in society to get that message across. And I think it's been amazing.
And before I let you go, I know you don't know. None of us know. But when does the optimist in you think that football might come back? We might get a game again.
Well, I mean, the season's on hold till the end of May. I think that's right. As we speak, I'm hopeful every day. Today I saw that there was one less case than there was yesterday. So the optimist in me says that, you know, hopefully that we're back early, and that the sort of June period is when we play games. And that's what I'm working towards. And then obviously, you know, you have scenarios in place for if it's not then, if it's the next month or the next month. But, you know, I would love to think that we're back to playing footy in the middle part of the year if the chief medicos and the government support that, because I think it'll be great, not just for the players in the AFL, but for people to be able to get back to the footy with their friends, in crowds, you know, celebrating, give them a distraction from everything else that's going on. Footy can play such an important role. So the earlier the better for me, as long as it fits in with the appropriate guidelines and health authorities.
And give me an understanding, if you can, what are the player rules? They're not allowed to get together in a park and have a kick together, even if it's only two players, or is that okay if those two players live together? How does that work?
Yeah, I mean, my understanding of players are, you know, like everybody else. There's, you know, all sorts of guidelines in place around, you know, 4 square metres and sort of thing. My understanding is that players need to be responsible, as we all do. You know, we've had a couple of meetings where we're working from home. Yesterday I met with someone, but we were four square metres apart. So I think if players are living together and they want to go to the park and, you know, take the dogs to the park and have a kick-to-kick, there's no problem with that. As long as they're, like everybody else, doing the right thing and not putting anyone else at risk. I don't think there's a problem with that at all.
Even two players who don't live together, but they live down the road?
Yeah, I don't know what the rules and that, but, you know, I think that the thing is everybody is supposed to isolate. Do the right thing. Unless you have to, go out, don't go out. And that message has got to be the same for the players as it is for me, same as it is for you, it's the same as it is for everyone that lives in your street. And I don't think players expect or should be treated any differently to that at the moment.
Great to have you, Justin. I really appreciate your time. Good luck through all this.
Anytime. And just hope that, you know, I hope that everyone remains as positive as they can in these circumstances, and we all sort of get an opportunity to hopefully move forward quicker than later. Thanks, Dwayne.
Thank you. Justin Reeves, Hawthorn CEO. Back to your calls. Brian in Chelsea Heights, 1300 736 736 is the number, heading straight back to your calls after a quick break. Take control of your outdoor adventures like never before with the Dometic CFX3. And our community is doing it incredibly tough right now. Small businesses are going to navigate through this unseen economic challenge that's ahead of us. And together with the Australian Institute of Business, aib.edu.au, Australia's number one online MBA provider, at SEN, to help, we've launched the SEN Small Business Grant Initiative. Now, grants of up to $100,000 are available, in lots of $5,000 for an SEN advertising campaign. SEN trying to do their bit. Simply tell us why your business needs a helping hand at SEN.com.au/grants, or if you're a Victorian, of course, and you want to correct me on my grammar, SEN.com.au/grants, not grants. Thanks to support the Australian Institute of Business, of course. The Australian Institute of Business, thanks to their support. We couldn't do this without them. You can study with Australia's number one online MBA provider, the experts in online learning. Enroll today at aib.edu.au. Your call's next.